You know, every Christian should be most of the time. Now, there's going to be times that you'll be down. But if you're down quite a bit, there's something wrong. And there needs to be some adjustment to your way of thinking in God's Word. I want you to learn a word today in the Greek that means to be up. And it's actually put together from two Greek words, and I think you'll have a better understanding if I teach you both of them. It comes from the word ana, ana, and that which simply means up. But telos, T-E-L-L-O-S in the Greek, means to rise for a special or a determined spot. It means ultimate, to be up the ultimate. And of course, now that needs a little correcting in English, but you know how to handle that. So, and of course, the word, when you put the two together, the Greek word is that is utilized for uprise or whatever, how arise or however it might be translated in the manuscripts, is anatello, anatello, A-N-A-T-E-L-L-O. Okay. It's even, if you like, if you want to do a little more word study, it's kind of a kinship to anathesia, which is to say resurrection. Which resurrection, as Christ was resurrected, the word utilized in the Greek has three meanings. One is to stand up. Okay, that's the trouble. A lot of people won't make a stand. Oh, well, you know, just whatever. Okay. Well, you got to stand for something in your life. Okay, you have to have principles, and those principles are important. They're as important as your name. Okay, your name really wears your signature. When your good friends judge you whether by your name, whether you are trusted, untrusted, solid citizen, rip-off artist, or whatever the case may be, but being a Christian, God has made it very clear through a great teacher and old fisherman. You know who that was? It was Peter, of course. How to be up, what the ingredients, the requirements. And we're going to take it from there. We're also going to go into the Old Testament, and we'll be dealing with the Hebrew word quah, Q-A-M. That's Q-U-A-M. M, pronounced kum, which has basically the same meaning, to be up. And God expects His children to be up. We've got something to be up about, to feel good, to understand and enjoy life. That's what He wanted you to do. Okay, having said that, open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Peter, and let's take it with chapter 1. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Cum, in a sense, can mean to stand up or spring up like a sprout. What does that mean, and why would you bring that up? Well, a sprout comes up how? Naturally. It's nature. It's natural. Okay? And naturally, if you follow Almighty God, you should want to listen to Him. But you know what? He's made a lot of promises. Well, I don't believe in His promises. Well, tough luck, friend. You're out. You have to believe. That's called faith. Pistos in the Greek tongue. If you don't have it, I'm sorry, you're playing. And you don't con God. You don't fool Him for a minute. He knows what you're thinking even. Okay? So, always be honest with yourself, with your people, with each other, but most of all with God, because He's got your number, okay? He, as I stated, He knows what you're thinking. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, rightly dividing the word, what was said there? This is written to those that have obtained faith. You don't have it? I'm sorry, you probably won't have ears to hear. With us, like us. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through, we're talking about grace and peace. Do you have that? How is it multiplied? Multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. In other words, you gain knowledge from the Word. Do you know, it is written, where? Proverbs, I believe it is, chapter 1, along about verse 7. Boy, I'm going by memory here, and I could be in error here, but it'll miss it a verse or two. That the love of God begins with knowledge. You have to have knowledge concerning Him, then you learn how to love Him, to be pleasing to Him. But sometimes wisdom comes, I guess, hard for some people because they don't know where the well of wisdom is. They'd rather take it from the world. And guess where you'll end up then? In the world. And that's okay. If that's where you want to be, it's fine with me. You'll have no argument. Okay? But it is through the knowledge of not man, not the world, but the knowledge of God. Verse 3. According as His divine power, dynamite, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Virtue here is in the masculine because it means strength, power, okay, might. And there's no gender involved. I said the word itself because the masculine is usually thought of as being stronger. Sometimes I wonder about that. Well, whatever. Anyway, you know, don't forget where it comes from. That's the most important thing. Don't ever try to alter God's Word for your own personal benefit. Boy, are you in for trouble. Are you in for a heap of hurt when you do. For whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That means you can claim them. They're given to you. They're yours if, boy, that's a big old word, isn't it? If, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And that means lust like putting, there's nothing wrong with you having nice automobiles. You know, it's not unchristian at all to have nice automobiles. But don't lust after them. Don't put them after God. God will give you nice automobiles if you claim His promises. You know, that's, lust is when you place something before God. I don't care what it is, okay? God comes first, and He has the power to give you whatever you have need of, okay? Verse 7, and to godliness, that means doing it God's way, brotherly kindness, Philadelphia, brotherly love even, and to brotherly kindness or love, charity. Charity means love that is given and nothing expected in return. And helping somebody out of the ditch, and they say, what do I owe you? And you say, not a thing. I may be in there myself someday. That's charity, okay? Didn't expect anything. Didn't want anything. Given in love. Verse 8, for if these things be in you, I'll read that again, if these things be in you, and abound, if you got plenty of it, pliable, that you're still soft enough clay that God can mold you into what He wants, okay? They make you that ye shall neither be barren, that means lazy, okay? I don't know why it was translated barren as it is, but idle. You'll never be idle. You'll always be busy in business or in happiness or being up. Nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So many people don't realize Why do you think God chooses someone? Why do you think that he has patience with them? It is because he expects his children to produce fruit. That fruit could be a smile to pick someone up that's really not up, okay? A kind word. It could be ministering to someone that really needed, was really down. You're producing fruit. If you do not produce fruit, how do you think God feels about you? Kind of makes you worthless, doesn't it? If you do not produce fruit, God considers you, well, it needs, you're good for nothing, all right? You're not doing anything. You're not producing anything. You know, where God said, I would rather you were cold or hot instead of lukewarm. You know, many people have different ideas on religion or what God's word says. He'd rather you did something, even if it's wrong. Well, I won't quite go that far, but that's kind of what he meant. You know, at least try. Do you know why? God has a built-in plan for you, but it doesn't take you too long through experimentation, that is to say, trying, to learn whether it's going to work or not, you know. Well, that didn't work too good. Well, try it again and figure out, use a little intelligence and figure out why it didn't work. Put a little gray matter into it. If it doesn't work that time, try again and then say, Lord, I got the message. You don't want me to do it that way. We'll try it a different way. In other words, he has built in a way to straighten you out and put you on the path that he chooses. Okay? That's what election is about. Many people won't believe that. That's fine. Okay? But that's how it is. That's how the old cookie crumbles, all right? Our Father likes people that produce fruit. And it just, you know, you've known someone that may not even, they may not even attend a church. But boy, the people they work with just love to be around them. Or their neighbor just loves for them to just say hi across the fence because it picks them up. They can sense something there. That produces fruit also. Understand. Verse 9. And he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. It means they're really short-sighted. They can't tell from here to there. Why? Because they're foolish. They're idle. They're not producing fruit. And God's not going to bless them. All right? That's the way it is. So don't be short-sighted. And he has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. That was the beauty of Christ coming. The law is not bad. We are. Okay? And God sent the law so that we would know when we were bad. He says, you break this one, I'm going to get you. I'm going to thump your gourd. That's all right, God. Just go ahead. You're going to get it, all right? In other words, the law is one of the best things in the world. It keeps us out of trouble, okay? But what he's saying here, you were purged from the sins you didn't even sacrifice for. When you ask him for that forgiveness and you mean it from your heart and you can't con him, he knows when you're having a change of mind and a change of heart. And you want to do that that's right. That you love his children. You're not idle. And that he can use you to progress his work on earth. Okay, verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence that you take care or be careful to make your calling and election sure. You make it firm, solid. For if, here's that big old word again, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. I don't know, do you ever fall? Do you ever have one of those days you certainly can't say you're up? Now, we may all be hit hard enough at times that we sway. But if you grab hold of these things, the knowledge of God, you know, the first thing that's going to come to your mind, Satan really tried to pull a good one there. And I went for it for a little bit, but I see now. Call it negative thought if you're of the higher critic type, okay? You get in control. Then you're going to see, and you're going to get it straight, and you're going to start taking names and kicking dragons, all right? You're going to straighten your life out, period. What? Well, how do I do that? Have we wasted our time in these first few verses? That's how you do it. That's what makes you strong. That's what sets you apart from those that are of the world, is that you have tried to attain the knowledge of God. Why? Well, why so much about the knowledge of God? Well, he tells you what tomorrow brings. And a person that knows what tomorrow brings should get by pretty good today. How many times have you heard someone say, if I could read tomorrow's newspaper, I could be wealthy? And they may hold it in their hand all the time. You know, as the nations move, as God has prophesied, it goes down exactly as it's written. You won't fall. That is to say, give up. Never. If you acquire those tools to work with, you'll get a little bit of a tiger in your tank. And you won't take it sitting down. You know, there are no giants. Let me say this. There are no giants in the world today. You become the giant when you accept God and make up your mind you're going to do something. And you do it wisely and intelligently. You figure out the pitfalls of what it is you're attempting, whether it's business, pleasure, or whatever. And you do it right and ask God's blessings, and you're going somewhere. But go for it, friend. Go for it with gusto. Be up. But do your homework first. Okay? You don't ever bet on another man's game, okay? There's tricks involved until you know the tricks. Verse 11, you're not going to fall if you'll stick to these things and be intelligent. Verse 11, for so an entrance or a gate shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you say Jesus, what are you saying? You're saying Yeshua. What is Yeshua? Yahweh Savior. That's what he sent him for. Emmanuel, God with us. Listen to your Father. And he will throw that gate open abundantly and say, child, come on in. Welcome back home. I'm going to take care of you. I've shown you in my word how to accomplish it. Do it. Okay, 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye knew them, and be established in the present truth. What did Peter walk with Christ? He knew the truth. He complimented Paul, who was probably one of the greater Hebrew scholars during the time that Christ walked the earth, because he studied at the feet of Gamaliel. And he considered the whole word truth. 13, yea, I think it meet, or I believe it's proper, as long as I am in this tabernacle, this old flesh body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. I know this is all so simple that all of you do it every day. I mean, you gain all the knowledge you can, you have all the patience in the world. I don't have to remind you, but he said, I feel I will anyway. Tell you to be patient, bringing forth the simplicities of God's word. We need to be reminded occasionally. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. And this would be Peter speaking, and he did. 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance, that you don't forget you're somebody. You're a child of God. Practice it. Never stop growing. Anytime you think you know it all and you stop studying, you're finished, friend. You're over. You're history. 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, that's traditions of men, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We were there, and what he's talking about is the transfiguration, okay, in the book of Matthew 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." This was said, of course, at the Mount of Transfiguration and as well at the baptism, 18. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard. He said, "I'm an eyewitness. I was there. We heard. When we were with him in the holy mount," verse 19, "we have also a more sure word of prophecy." You want it? Well, listen up. "Whereunto you do well that you take heed," that you pay attention, "as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise." There's your word, underline it, anatello. It means to be up. Well, why should I really pay attention to that? Well, listen, that you be up for a special and the ultimate reason. "Till the day star arise in your hearts." What does heart translate? Your mind. In your. You're the one that's up. He's been up a long time. God's been up from day one. But this brings your heart up, your mind up, and gives you purpose and lets you know that you're a child of God. I don't care what your nationality, I don't care anything about it. It means because you're all children of God. And through the day star, you have that promise that if you bring it into your heart and mind, it will give you the ultimate to be up. Why? He's made you every promise in the world and told you in the Word how to overcome everything that the enemy or the world might throw at you. Use it. Practice it. But it's got to come up or be founded or to be anchored in your heart, in your mind. Another way of saying it, your faith, your belief. You got to trust him. Do you know something? Many people expect, "Well, God never blesses me." Well, you don't trust him, do you? I know you don't trust him if you say he doesn't bless you because you're ignorant of his word. You're not meeting the conditions. Now, that may sound a little bit on the strong side. But if you don't trust God, you're not a believer. Okay, you're play-acting. That makes sense, doesn't it? Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, he is the creator of all things. How could you not trust him? If you don't, you're certainly not a believer. And you're kidding yourself. And you need to make some changes to your thought and mind. The day star certainly has not risen in your heart. And you have those that even think they're wiser than God himself playing higher critic, even of the manuscripts themselves. So funny. But hey, if that's the life they want and the punishment they want or the fulfillment in life, more power to them. Hey, have to it. Verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Meaning, it didn't come from a man. A man didn't give it. Verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, or man's thought, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In other words, it was God himself speaking through them. Well, how can I prove that out? Check it out. Gain knowledge in the Word of what he says will transpire and believe it when you see it come to pass, or refuse it if it doesn't. that make sure you have practiced the things that he has said to check it out. Okay, go, turn back with me to Hebrews here. The book of Hebrews, chapter 7, here in passing. To be up. It's the greatest thing in the world to have confidence and be sure of yourself because the day star has risen in your heart. Tetelo. To give you confidence, to give you knowledge, to give you wisdom. Now, we're talking here in this chapter 7 of Hebrews about Melchizedek. And Melchizedek is a Hebrew word that means Melchah is king in the Hebrew tongue. Zedek is of the just, righteousness, or peace. Okay? And quite frankly, if you turn back and read verse 3, it'll give you a little knowledge. Without father, without speaking of Melchizedek, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. In other words, he is a king, but he's also a priest. Why do you call a king a priest? There's something being said here much deeper than many people have the ability to ascertain. There is to be a king priest. He's called the Son of God. But why was he made like unto the Son of God? Because he was. Okay? Just to make it real short for you, that's who it was. All right? Abraham saw him. Pick it up with verse 11 in chapter 7 to pick up our point. If, therefore, perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Why should we have one make a stand? He said, it seems to me the point that's is alluded to here is that Christ came out of Judah. He wasn't a Levite. What's going on here? Okay? And again, the law is good, as man is bad. All right? Verse 12. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law, which means simply the part that is fulfilled, meaning forgiveness. 13. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. There wasn't any priest came out of Judah and served there at the altar. However, Christ came through Judah. However, that's only half the story. Elizabeth, as it is written in Luke 1, was a daughter of Aaron. She was married to a full-blood Levite priest, Zacharias, who was doing at that very moment in Luke chapter 1 the course of Abijah. Therefore, when Mary conceived, she instantly ran to her cousin, I repeat, cousin, Elizabeth. How could Mary be of Judah and yet be a cousin to a Levite priestess wife? When we know in Luke 3, the genealogy given there is not the genealogy of Joseph, who had nothing to do with the birth of Christ, but is the genealogy of Mary herself through her father. But her mother was a Levite, therefore Christ joined both the king and the priest line as a priest of after the order of Melchizedek forever. Okay? Verse 14. For it is evident that our Lord sprang, now there's your word, I want you to underline it, sprang, shot up, raised up, was up. The word is total, okay? Out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. And again, you have to read between the lines and go by history itself. It's well recorded in Luke chapter 1 that Mary was, Mary's mother was a Levite. Okay, verse 15. And it is yet far more evident for, let me correct myself. that Mary was half Levite and half of Judah. Okay. Mary's mother was of Levite. Okay. 15. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude looked alike of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. Ariseth, as it is written here, is anastemi. Anastemi. It's a kin word. Means basically the same thing. How could they? 16. Who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Is that what you want? It's wonderful to have forgiveness, because there's none of us perfect. We all slip up at times. And to be able to ask that forgiveness and know you receive it positively, you know you receive it, no doubt, and you have a clean start. What a great gift that is. 17, for he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. 18, for there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. That is to say, burning animals and stuff like that to get forgiveness. That's not profitable. But in love through Christ, asking that forgiveness and receiving it, you become a new creature, a fresh start in life. Forgiveness is probably the most beautiful thing in Christianity, and people don't practice it as they should because it's hard to forgive. But you've got to forgive for God to forgive you, okay? That's the way it bounces. That's the way the cookie crumbles. It just makes me miserable. Well, be miserable, okay? That's the way it goes. That doesn't mean you have to go to someone who's offended you and beg forgiveness. Just forgive them in your heart. If they ask you to, then yes, if it's possible. As Paul would say in one place, if it is possible, get along with your neighbor. Which says what in the negative sense? With some neighbors, it's not possible. Okay? You're not going to get along with them, so draw the line, get along with them by being absent from their presence, or buys property and tell you to move out. Okay. There's always an answer to everything if you think about it. But you see, if it's not possible to get along with a neighbor, don't shoot him unless you've got a valid reason. Okay, that means he's breaking into your home and he's about to do harm to your family. I think we've done that one well. Okay. We'll believe that. But through Christ you have forgiveness, okay? 19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Do you draw nigh enough to him that the day star rises in your heart and mind? That you can see, Father, that he can touch you? That the promises he gives to you, you're blessed with them. Listen, this ministry is a prime example of the blessings of God. You know, just a little old church in Northwest Arkansas where really we don't have all that much. I mean, even your head preacher ain't all that much, you know, but he tries hard. So who does it then? God does. Why? Because he promised. And if you're loyal to that, I don't care how good you are, he's going to bless you. Okay? And you're going to be the best because of his blessings. The proof is in the pudding. An intelligent person knows that. Unintelligent people are never going to amount to anything anyway. Okay? So, in this generation, perhaps, but thanks be to God, there's better times coming, and maybe people are going to wake up when they see him, and what a blessing that's going to be. But my point is this, you've got it today. Use it. Practice it. Let the day star rising in your heart and keep you up by learning from the knowledge of God. Do you know that he loves his children? Do you know what that knowledge is that tells his children what to do for his blessings? It's that simple. Don't do it. Sorry, no ticky, no laundry, friend. That's just the way it goes. That's life. I don't care what country you are, that's the way it goes. No ticky, no laundry. Okay? No pleasy God? Sorry. Why would he want to bless you if you didn't trust him? If your own children didn't trust you, you would go overboard and say, it doesn't bother me that you don't trust me. Here, take the keys to my new car, darling. Even though you have a drinking problem and drugs, take my new car, please. I don't think so. I don't think you're that bad off, okay? Perhaps that's a bad analogy, be that as it may, but Father has feelings. God has feelings. And he can be offended real easy. Let's go to the New Testament. I'm sorry. Let's go to the Old Testament. We are in the New Testament. Numbers chapter 24. Numbers chapter 24, Balaam's having a terrible day. He had a lot of them. And he didn't want to admit it, but he liked money. Okay, and God finally gave him about a halfway an opening to make a little money, and then God had to use Balaam's ass to talk to him, the donkey he was riding, by putting an angel of God in front of him saying, "Don't be silly." Okay, so God will deal with his people, but this is that same Balaam. And I just want to go here because it's a prophecy concerning the last days, okay? Numbers chapter 24, verse 15, I brought you up to speed concerning Balaam. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, 16, he hath said, which heard the words of God. Whose words? The words of God. And knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. Meaning, this is a prophecy, a man of God, even though he had some faults. 17, listen carefully. I shall see him, but not now. This speaks of Yeshua, the coming Messiah. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter, that means the king line, shall rise out of Israel and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Seth. I know this is a mistranslation to utilize the word Seth here. The word Seth in the Hebrew tongue means tumult or confusion. I'm going to destroy the children of tumult, okay? That caused trouble. Not Seth, there's no article here for him. But I want to go back to the word, the scepter shall rise. That is kum, qua yi a mem, kum. And it means a stand, to stand up. In other words, he's promising you Messiah shall stand up. And he's going to take care of business. And then he goes into some prophecies concerning the end times. Much of this you can begin to see formulate even now. And I repeat, this speaks what one people will do to another people in the last days. 18, and Edom shall be a possession, Seir shall also be a possession of his enemies, and Israel shall do violently. Violently. In other words, going to do real good. Why? Because God is with them. Now, this is not all inclusive of the tribe of Judah. You've still got 11 other tribes. Where are they? Okay? And who is Edom? Where is Edom today? The Slavic peoples of the world. It's Russia, Rush. Okay? That's easily documented. There's no problem through history. We have times there when Rush, let me give you a little Hebrew lesson. In Ezekiel chapter 38 in verse 1 and 2, you will have the word chief prince utilized in English. Check it back to the Hebrew and the word is R-O-S-H, wash. It will later by the Vulgar be changed to Rush. Verse 19. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. And when he looked on Amalek, who is Amalek? He's the son of Esau, okay? He took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he perish forever. That means the government thereof, not the people, okay? If the people love the Lord, they're children of God. Verse 21, and he looked on the Kenites. What is the word Kenite in the Hebrew tongue? Cain. It means the sons of Cain. And took up his parable and said, strong is thy dwelling place, and thou puttest thy nest in a rock. Not many people even know who the Kenites are, nor could they recognize one if they saw one, okay? But the sons of Cain are still in the world today. Where are you to bother them? No. The parable of the tares, let them grow with the wheat. God's telling you he's going to take care of them right here. Nevertheless, the Kenite shall be wasted until Asher shall carry thee away captive. And it continues on into prophecies concerning nations. The word chittim, as it is used here in the Hebrew tongue, means the bruisers. The bruisers are going to fix it. Who are the bruisers? Well, who bruises Satan when he comes? What was the first prophecy concerning Christ in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, concerning this same day star, Messiah? He said to the woman, or to the serpent, in verse 15 of Genesis chapter 3, that from this conception he shall, the serpent seed shall bruise the heel of the woman seed, and the woman seed, meaning Christ, would bruise the head of the serpent seed, meaning the Kenites. Okay, so it's going to happen. It's written. No big deal to it. But let me make one thing very clear. Never accuse me of saying a Kenite cannot have salvation. That is untrue. Anyone, whomsoever will, that accepts Yeshua, becomes a child of God. I don't care what their earthly bearing is, okay? Got that said. I want to go to a little book, the fourth from the end of the Old Testament. A little book in the Hebrew tongue that means hidden of Yah. And there are things that are hidden of Yah for those that do not care to seek the knowledge of God. Zephaniah, the great book of Zephaniah. I hope I'm correct in saying it's the fourth book from the end. I could be wrong. I was about 3 years ago. Concerning being up, we will come to the Hebrew word kum again. Chapter 3, this again, having to do with end times, okay, from the hidden of Yah, Zephaniah, chapter 3, verse 8. Listen carefully. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise, kum, there it is, stand up. Or have you risen in his heart or allowed him to rise in your heart? Until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my furious anger, For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. That is to say, his return. Now, I want to tell you something about that verse. It is not just a normal little old verse. Within this verse, every letter of the Hebrew alphabet is utilized, including the five final letters. I want to say that again. In that verse I just read, every letter in the Hebrew alphabet is utilized, including the five final letters, to document what? Imply that the whole purpose of God is stated within that verse. That is to say, his determination of what the outcome shall be. Look around you today, my friend. Stand up. Be up. Be up by what? By gaining knowledge from God's Word. Alright? And gaining knowledge from God's Word gives you a sure-footedness in the end times that you will not slip, you will not slide. Why? You will have God's blessings, and you will move forward, and you will produce fruit. One more verse, 9. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. Meaning, again, he will take away that Tower of Babel. And one language following the verse that has every Hebrew letter from the Hebrew alphabet, including, this is what makes it so very unusual, including the five finals. One pure language. He's returning. He's not happy with the way things are in this world. And it's not as it used to be. You can basically mark this day, for nothing is ever going to be the same. I want to go to one more place here. Turn with me quickly to Jeremiah 23. Part of the problem. You that wish to make a deeper study on that particular verse that had all of the final letters, is well noted in the Masorah, which you will find in your companion Bible, Appendix 30. And I'm probably going to go wrong here. I believe it's Appendix 93. It might help you. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 1. Our Father speaking, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Well, how do they scatter them? Well, they don't teach God's Word. They teach a bunch of malarkey, a bunch of pamphlets, a bunch of gobbledygook. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. Judgment begins with the preachers, my friend. So if you ever set yourself up as a preacher, I'd be pretty careful and do my homework and know for sure what I was talking about, because you will answer for it big time, okay? Especially when you start misleading God's children. You know why? He loves them. And it's when people begin to teach some other word other than God's Word that he will cease blessing them. 3, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. Let me tell you something. You will always increase if you do God's Word. Hey, I will stand behind that guarantee over and over. It isn't really me that stands behind it. It's God. That is the reason this church is so successful. You know, I don't know of any other ministry that has the coverage that we do. Multi-millions of dollars a year spent on television. You've never heard me beg. You've never heard us beg on television. And so if you don't help us, we're going to be off there. If God wants you there, you'll be there, okay? You do God's word, and he will bless you, okay? Don't play games with God. Be real with yourself. Be honest with yourself. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them. Feed them what? God's word. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Lacking from what? Truth, knowledge, wisdom, temperance, patience. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise, there's our word, okay, come, unto David a righteous branch, a shoot, in other words, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved and Israel, this is both houses, the tribe of Judah and the other 11 tribes, shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness, Melchizedek, the king of the Zadok, the just. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up, are you up, brought up, and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country. That's always where Satan likes to dwell. And from all countries whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land with their own God and with the truth. It's yours. It's all yours. It's there for the taking when you serve him, when you seek that knowledge. You can't help being that. Why? Because of his promises. You know, I suppose one of the biggest steps is to believe you won't fall. That kind of means won't fail. And you know something? If you do it his way, you won't. That means you study it, you put all your knowledge according to God's knowledge that you've gained from him, and you will succeed when you prayerfully petition him. And then fix, if the boat, you know, I could build a boat. There's one gift God, I don't know why he didn't give it to me. And that's driving nails or putting pegs in carpentry. I guarantee you, if I built a boat, it would sink. Okay. But should that stop me from building a boat? No. Because if I don't care how many times it sinks, I'm going to be in there marking the places where it's leaking. And I'll go down with my ship every time until I get all the leaks stopped. And then I'm going to motor. Okay? Don't quit. Okay? Don't give up. God expects people that have virtue, that strength in their belief and resolve to get it done. So, be up in him. Do you know what? God loves you. You're his child. And he has put forth all these promises. You see, you might say, well, why did you bring in so much concerning his second advent, which is the his arriving or arising, I will say, perfect English, okay, at the second advent? Because that means we have the victory. All the nations today that move around in this world, guess who the superpower of superpowers is, and do you think that just happened? I realize we have a lot of problems because there are certain people that hanky with the panky, okay, politically and behind the scenes. But don't worry. God has them between his thumb and his forefinger. And when he is ready to squash, that's one reason we cover it. He will squash them. Unless they love him. If they love him, welcome home. So, you've got everything in the world to be up, even though they might say, boy, times are really bad. For who? Okay? For who? Now, a lot of people have lost a lot of money. be careful what you invest in. Okay? Be careful. All right? There's one thing, you know, like, and I never give advice on investing, all right? I'm about to think after this past year I'm not qualified. There's a lot of people feel that way, okay? Make sure that what you invest in amounts to something, though. Don't invest in contracts, which in a way is what got a lot of people hurt this past week, and you know what I'm talking about, and I don't want to go into detail. They bought zero, nothing. Contracts. I mean, buy land, petroleum, I mean, the well where it's pumping, you got the real thing, not some piece of paper. Watch what you get involved in, okay? Make sure it has value. And interesting, I'm not going to go off into that because it would just take away from what I've taught about let the day star rise in your heart. Love him, trust him, ask his forgiveness for anything you might have done, and unless you're like some I know that are perfect and you don't ever need to repent. I'm teasing. I don't know anyone like that. I don't know if I'm, but we know Christ, and I know some that think they are. But then, be that as it may, let the Father know you love him. I guess what I'm trying to beat around the bush and say, be honest, of all things, be honest with your Father. Okay? Be honest with him. Talk to him. You don't have to share it with anyone else. Talk to him. Be honest with him and let him know your needs. Study his word. And you that might fancy yourself as shepherds, when you feed the sheep, make sure it's good food. And, hey, I'm going to guarantee you, you'll have to fight them away from the trough. Now, I'm kind of a cattle man, okay? I know how that goes. Boy, I like to feed, you know, in the winter, about this time of the year when there's not much protein out there, I like to buy cow cake. You know, that's cottonseed and some wonderful energy. And if you'll put that pure energy out there to them every day, pretty soon you'll probably get a vehicle because they'll run over you, get into the trough. That's the way people are in church if you'll teach the truth. If you'll feed them, they'll be there, okay? So what do I want to feed them? Maybe I could buy some book down at the bookstore. No, the Bible. God's Word. Otherwise, you're not going to be blessed. Just get that in your head. You won't be blessed unless you teach God's Word, if you call yourself a teacher of that Word. Huh? It would be like one of these teachers we're going to join up here in a little bit. If one of them is supposed to be teaching English, and they start all of a sudden switch teaching German, you know, it's not going to fly. Well, see that it doesn't do. Okay, hey, I love you all. Father, thank you for the privilege again of serving you. Thank you for each and every one, Father, that we are allowed to serve you and to do your bidding, Father. May we be considered not idle, but a carrier forth of thy word. We ask it in Jesus Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you. The Epistles of John, three letters.